Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
As promised, we're transitioning to the third hour. I had to swallow kind of hard. Had a little chocolate in my mouth. I took a little break a minute ago. I'm a chocolate hound. It kind of gives me energy. But we got coming back. As promised, we're going to pick up Ben Walker. Along with Will Franklin. They know quite a bit about this a white hero named Randy Weaver, who was the Fez tried to murder him. Well, anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up. I'm not going to give the whole story, but people, we're going to go over to if you will, Ben, open up. Tell us about Randy Weaver, if you want to. The story about Ruby Ridge and the whole tragedy that happened up there with Randy's family, and I think he had a friend up there with him too, a male friend. I don't know what happened to him,
Kevin,
but let's
Harris.
Get into. What was that you say, fella?
Kevin Harris.
Oh, Kevin Harris. Okay. Well, you know, you have no idea, people. The pretty much the purpose of this Randy Weaver thing is to, and we're going to get into some other things too, but the pure. It's more than pure evil. It's a satanic evil that has captured this United States of America government, especially the deep state. They say, you know, there's an old saying that politicians come and go, but the bureaucrats stay forever. And we do have a bureaucratic establishment here in the United States, especially in the deep state, and especially in the deep intelligence state, that they're pure Satan people. They hate you, man. If you're white and you're a Christian, they hate you with a virulent hatred you can't even imagine. And with that, I'm opening up that. And do you try to, no matter how far away you try to get them, no matter how far out in the boonies you get, no matter how poor and insignificant you are, if you try to resist them and you don't bend a knee to them, they will kill you in cold blood. And not only will they get by with it, they will get promotions in the United States government. With that, I'm trying to lead that in. We're going to talk about Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge. And with that, if you will, Ben, open up that. Tell the people a little bit about who you are, right? Real quick, like, and then lead us into the. Tell us all about Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge and why it mattered then, why it matters now. Go ahead, Ben.
About most of y'all know who I am. I've been on here a couple of times, but a proud member and advocate for the Knights Party. And if you want to get in touch with that organization and be part of that, feel free to reach out to me or Eddie. I've got a lot here with Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver, so I'm not going to beat around the bush too much. For the ones of you that aren't familiar with Ruby Ridge, this happened back in, well, it started early in 91 and 1990. Of course, a lot of these dates I'm having to go by from notes because that was before my time, but Randy Weaver was a white separatist, as most of us are. Had ties with Aryan Nations. He was not a member, but, you know, was involved and had attended several times over a three-year period. And in that three-year period, he had been befriended by a ATF federal agent who was kind of scoping things out, and in the long run ended up buying a couple of sawed-off shotguns from Randy Weaver, at which point he was told that they would drop the charges if he snitched and would be an informant for the feds on Aryan Nations, which he pretty much replied with, hell no, I'm not doing that. And going forward from that, they jacked him around for a while with court cases, swapping dates. Randy didn't have a phone at the cabin. So he relied on everything via letter or person. They had screwed him around a couple times on his court cases, and he had finally got to the point where he was like, look, I think they're just trying to set me up and screw me over. He was already anti-government and had some run-ins with the FBI already due to a lawsuit with his neighbor that he had won, and the neighbor decided to report him for alleged comments of terroristic threatening towards Ronald Reagan and several other governors and stuff. It was a lot of just political BS that was going on at that time with him. But jumping forward to August 21st of 1992, that was, you know, day one of Ruby Ridge. They had six U.S. Marshals surrounded the cabin up there and were scouting. They were trying to get Randy for, you know, evading court or whatever. And you had Kevin Harris and little Sammy up there, who was 14 at the time. And Randy, the dogs alerted to him. Dog took off up the mountain. They're like, oh, it's a deer. Let's go shoot the deer. So Randy takes off down the log road. Kevin Harris and Sammy go up the mountain. Well, at that point, Randy spots the feds. They yell at him. Randy retreats to the cabin. And about the same time is when the feds seen Sammy and the dog barked at him. They shot the dog. Sammy is like, you shot my dog, you SOB. And that's quoted from Randy Weaver. Turns around with his 30-06 and pops a fed. Takes off back to the house, and they shot him twice, once in the arm, once in the back, and killed him. At the same time, there was about a small firefight broke out between Sammy, Kevin Harris, and Randy. I mean, it goes down quick when that stuff happens. I think they said it all went down within like 2 minutes. And at 11:15 a.m. on August 21st, Sammy was pronounced dead by Kevin Harris, and everyone retreated back to the cabin. They were able to go up on that later that night and recover Sammy's body and put him in the outbuilding. August 22nd rolls around. More than 100 state and federal agents showed up with equipment. Some reports say as many as between 400 and 800 National Guard showed up.
My God.
To keep protesters separate from what was going on the Hill. Later that day on August 22nd was when Vicky was shot. They had left the house to go from the house to the outbuilding where they had prepared Sammy's body. And they were going to, you know, say their goodbyes and bury the body. Well, as Randy reached the outbuilding, he reached up to open it. He got shot in the shoulder. It went through his lower arm and come out his armpit. And that was when they retreated to the house. And Vicky held the door, had the baby in one arm, held the door open. Everybody run in. She pushed the three little girls in, or she pushed two girls in, had one in her arm. They had three girls. And as she let the door shut behind her, they shot her through the head, through the door, or through the door, through the head, and one went. The remaining shot is what hit Kevin Harris in the shoulder, causing a punctured lung and a laceration to his arm, I wouldn't say shot to the arm, but fragments created a gunshot wound to his arm. And some severe bleeding. I mean, it's just brutal. I know I've been through this pretty quick, but It's just, there's so much to it. I've spent the last 3 hours here going through all the information, trying to sort out liberal bullshit from it. But the jumping forward, you know, they were able to get Vicky. I mean, she was in the house. It wasn't until Bug Wrights made it there on the 28th that anyone knew she was dead. And, wow. You know, so that's several days. We'll be right back after this break.
Great job, brother.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Hello friends, this is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Welcome back to Blood River Radio, guys. Before we went to break, Brother Ben was telling us the beginning parts of Ruby Ridge and what happened that fateful August in 1992. Ben, why don't you pick right back up where you left off?
All right. Well, as I had mentioned, we had just gotten to the point where Vicky had been shot by an FBI sniper, Lon Harucci, if I pronounced his name wrong, I apologize. I actually, no apologies. I can't stand that sorry SOB, but... So jumping forward in my little timeline here, August 25th rolled around on my key notes of timeline. 5 skinheads were arrested. They tried to reach the cabin with a Jeep load of firearms. And as I said prior to the break, it wasn't until August 28th when Bug Wrights was able to get the authorities to let him go up there and speak with Randy. And it was a lot of work just to get Randy to speak. They had sent a robotic, like the robot that had all the bells and whistles on it, had a shotgun on it and lights and a phone so you could go out there and talk. Well, Randy was like, hell no, I ain't going out there. This door ain't opening. I ain't going to go talk. So it finally got to the point where they were just yelling back and forth through the cabin. And it was at that point Bug Wrights was able to, Vicky had passed. And it wasn't until the 31st when they were able to get the Weavers to leave the cabin, as well as Kevin Harris. I believe he left on the 30th. And at the final end of the whole mess there, Randy was awarded $100,000 for the loss of Vicky, and each of the girls were awarded $1 million. That all went down in 95, and in 2000, Harris was awarded $380,000 and acquitted of his charges of killing an agent. But, and that kind of sums up the whole rundown of the event.
Ben, I'll work backwards on that. And what you're talking about was in 95 when Randy received the $300,000, and Randy had three surviving children, the girls, including Lysheba, who was the baby that Vicky was holding when she was shot. And, you know, those $1 million awards from the jury on the federal side, what that was for a wrongful death lawsuit. So that's the government's way of saying it's sanctioned murder. And that's what happened there when Lon Herucci pulled the trigger and killed Vicky up there. The government said, okay, we'll give you this check, but we're not going to admit that we did anything wrong. And that is certainly what happened there, that it was nothing but a case of murder on Lon Herucci's part. And, Lon Herucci, I do not want to give him much time at all. I want to focus on the Weavers and these Patriots, during that time frame in American history. But Lon Herucci was a Japanese American born in Hawaii to Japanese parents. He won an appointment to West Point, to the United States Military Academy, and came out as a second lieutenant, ended up as a trained sniper with the hostage rescue team for the FBI, the HRT. They had been given rules of engagement when they went there to Boulder County in Idaho during this event. And one of the things that the FBI had said, and get this, was that Vicky Weaver, Randy Weaver's wife, was the spiritual head of the family, and she would have been the ones making the call. So Lon Herucci pulled the trigger on Vicky Weaver with no provocation other than he's just a woman killer. He's a murderer. And he rose again too a couple years later in Waco, Texas, during the Branch Davidian saga there. And mind you, I'm not going to sit here and say I philosophically believe with what the Branch Davidians believed or anything like that, but they were still American citizens who all due process was taken away from. And there were children underground burned and gassed by the federal government. And that's something that we should never forget. It was 30 years ago, but they were burned and gassed at the hands of the federal government. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that bastard Lon Herucci was there in Waco as well. The Texas Rangers came after the fact. They deposed a couple of FBI agents, and one of the FBI agents clearly said that he was in a sniper's point acting as a scout for Lon Herucci, who fired into the Branch Davidian compound on children, and they recovered the 308 brass. So I just wanted to get that out there, Ben.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I mentioned in the break, I really didn't want to mention his name, but just because I don't like giving fame to scum like him.
Lon Herucci is alive and well. He's alive and well and living in Hawaii and supposedly on the Big Island. So just in case anyone ever comes across him, that's where he's supposedly back living.
Yep.
I want to take a moment. And Ben, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I want to take a moment because Randy Weaver, you know, has been just lambasted in the 3 decades since the incident there at his home in Boulder County as this crazy right-wing, you know, anti-government, whatever you want to call him, neo-Nazi. And I want to just take a second and tell you what kind of guy Randy Weaver was and where he came from. Randy Weaver, both Randy and Vicky Weaver, her maiden name was Jordan, and they were born in Iowa. And Randy Weaver was a patriot, and he was a patriot from a very early age, like a lot of middle America is there in the Midwest and the heartland. Randy Weaver volunteered for the United States Army during Vietnam. He got discharged out of the Army as a sergeant in the Green Berets. He was a special forces trained soldier during the Vietnam era. He went back to Iowa. He worked for John Deere. He met Vicky there in his hometown. They got married and started having some kids. Sammy was the first one. He was born in 1978. Just living a normal life in Iowa. They were very, very religious people. They held strong to their religious beliefs. And one of the things that they believed strongly was that they were living in Babylon, that this Talmudic government of Washington, D.C., this federal government, was Babylon. And what they wanted most was to separate themselves, to go along that commandment that is given to us in Scripture of come out from underneath the whore of Babylon. And that is what they desired. And then they made the fatal mistake of they bought a small piece of land that they decided they were going to scratch a life out of there in Boulder County, Idaho, and they divorced themselves from government. They went to Idaho. They started homeschooling their children. They started living off of what they could produce. And they had a lot of neighbors that were just like them. They found a very willing place as far as a place to settle. And, you know, you had mentioned the federal intervention there as far as the undercover ATF agent and that sort of thing. And one of the things they were doing, they were desperately trying to do, is to get into Pastor Butler's church there at Hayden Lake. And it is true, Randy Weaver did go up there a couple times to some picnics. And he was known as a very handy guy. Randy Weaver was very, very good mechanic. And he kind of made some friends up there because they were just looking for fellowship with people who believe like they believe. And that's the problem in this country. You can't seek out friendships and fellowship with people who believe like you believe. That's forbidden, right, Ben? We can't do that. And the ATF, there was a time during the whole Patriot movement, you couldn't go to a picnic if it was a neo-Nazi picnic or a KKK picnic or what, you know, whatever you want to say, where you weren't bumping into three or four undercover feds that were all kind of informing on each other. And that's what happened with Randy Weaver. He got caught up. They desperately needed some money, and the federal government tried to come in and make him an informant, and he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Also, let me throw this out. Let me just throw this out there too. Of all the criminal charges that he was accused of, with the shooting of the marshals and even the original gun charges of manufacturing those sawed-off shotguns, Randy Weaver was never convicted of one of those. He never got convicted. Jerry Spence, the famed attorney out of Wyoming, stepped in. He didn't get convicted of one of those charges. The only thing that was on his record was that failure to appear, which was all a clerical error. And that was the only thing that was upheld. But that wasn't worth losing the life of his son, Sammy, and his daughter, Vicky. I'll give it back to you, Ben.
Well, you know, you said it better than anybody else could have. And going off what you said there too, God forbid white Christians sit down and have a picnic. God forbid we have fellowship, because, you know, the almighty Jew is so worried that we have fellowship that they will kill a mother carrying her child.
That's right.
It makes me sick. And, you know,
go ahead, Ben.
There's been several times, and I've this is hearsay because I haven't seen it in writing, and, you know, this whole all happened before I was alive, but there have been tales that he bragged on being able to shoot a quarter at 1,000 yards.
I've heard the same thing. Dear Blood River Radio people, thank you so much for hanging out. I hear the music. I got to go a quick break. Once again, the gremlin struck my equipment, but we've got me tuned back in, so we'll get back to the program as soon as this quick break. This is the bottom of the hour break. Got about 6 minutes. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. The government shutdown is on its 18th day. What does the shutdown mean for workers, federal programs, and the economy?
The government shutdown quickly approaching the second longest on record with no end in sight. Some lawmakers predicting it could become the longest, surpassing the 35 days from President Trump's first term. The nation's active duty service members got paid Wednesday with special funding, but it's unlikely that will continue. I'm Julie Walker.
U.S. military strike on a cartel boat leaves survivors for the first time, U.S. officials say. At a White House meeting with President Zelensky, President Trump tells reporters that a drug-smuggling submarine was the Caribbean vessel from which the U.S. military collected survivors.
We attacked a submarine, and that was a drug-carrying submarine built specifically for the transportation of massive amounts of drugs, just so you understand. This was not an innocent group of people. I don't know too many people that have submarines, and that was an attack on a drug-carrying, loaded-up submarine.
The Trump administration has in recent weeks launched other strikes on boats allegedly connected to Venezuelan drug cartels, but until Thursday, there had been no survivors. Former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Dr. Michael Oren, believes President Trump's success in the Middle East could have significant implications.
I think more than any other peace initiative, not only has this one succeeded in actually bringing about concrete results, the release of the hostages and ending the fighting, but it holds out the promise for subsequent phases that will bring peace not only to Gaza, but perhaps throughout the region. And as I said earlier, something that will certainly transform the region.
Meantime, Israel has identified the remains of a 76-year-old hostage handed over by Hamas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created Think Factor. Boy, am I glad to tell you about Think Factor. It's been a game changer in my life. It's designed to help us all think clearer and perform better daily. A powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus so you can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. It has been a game changer for me. After a few weeks of taking Think Factor, I have never had such clarity and focus or memory. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, Think Factor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800, the number 4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to order Think Factor. It's called Think Factor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Thank you so much for holding on. Thank God we have two great guys on to keep the program going. All of a sudden, I'm sitting here like I was telling my people. All of a sudden, my computer, a click noise and a flash, and I can hear y'all, everybody great. So I just couldn't get out, but I'm on the phone right now. But I don't want to interrupt this narrative, that's for damn sure, but I'd like to chip this in. Years ago, when I first started with the PPC, God, I guess back in 05, a short time after that, we used to get this guy on, his name was State Senator, Nebraska State Republican Senator, John DeKalb. He came to be good buddies with William Colby, a.k.a. Bill Colby, who was in Vietnam. And later, after I came home from Vietnam, Colby became the director of the CIA, good friends with John DeKalb. Well, fast forwarding into the Murrah Federal Building, I'm going to take this real quick because this kind of meshes right in with Randy Weaver, Waco, the whole nine yards, Alamein City. Because of the incredible abuses of the federal government, the militia movement was getting very strong in the United States. Now, what Senator John DeKalb said that William Colby told him that the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City was blown up by the feds. They blamed it, if you may remember, a lot of you people are probably too young to remember, but they blamed it pretty much on militia, or with Timothy McVeigh, people like that. And the reason, here's the horrible, show you how horrible the federal government is, guys. The feds had picked up, narrowed down the places they're going to blow up to a federal building in Phoenix, Arizona, and a federal building in Oklahoma. Well, they picked the one, the Murrah building, because it had a nursery there with small children. And they wanted the maximum carnage that they could wreak havoc on, because they blamed it on the militia in the United States. Now, this is according to Bill Colby. The militia was getting so strong they had to do something. So they blamed all this whole thing on the militia blowing up the building. And another thing I was telling Will off the air the other day, maybe it could have been today. Also, at that time, a lot of you people probably too younger to remember this. This thing called Whitewater was going on over in Arkansas with the Rose Law Firm that Bill and Hillary Clinton were up their eyeballs in. You know, Bill was the governor of the state there, and they had they had a place over there in southeastern Arkansas, around Mena, Arkansas. They had an airport over there. The government was flying in dope into Arkansas. They all tied in together. Bill Clinton was getting his share of the dope from the CIA. They defined it open there. They were trading dope for firearms with the Contras of Sandinistas. I know it's a lot to cover there, but getting back to show you how evil the United States government, especially the deep state, the bureaucrats that stay there forever. Well, politicians come and go, bureaucrats stay forever. They blamed on the militia, and pretty much I think we'll agree today that that's pretty much what the death knell for the militia movement in the United States of America. But Randy Weaver was kind of that independent guy like that, y'all. And I just saw him throw that out there. But so listen up, if you will, guys, y'all just go ahead and take it. I just want to throw out there. So Ben, go ahead and take over, guy, and you and Will just take it to the barn.
Not. Well, as we were speaking earlier, you know, about the whole mess, I'm trying to remember where I was at. One topic I want to throw in there from watching the documentary earlier, one of the local neighbors had mentioned there was a helicopter flying over the cabin on the, I guess it would have been the 22nd. And they were afraid that they were going to pull a Gordon Call type situation and dump diesel fuel on the cabin and just burn the whole family up.
Right.
Will, do you have any knowledge of all that?
I do. On which part, Ben? On what happened with Gordon there in Arkansas, or what happened in with Randy Weaver?
Both.
Yeah, that was fresh on the minds of a lot of the people in the Patriot movement at the time. Gordon Call's death had happened in 1983, and you know, we're talking 9 years later in 1992, and what Ben was referring to, Gordon Call, which we won't have enough time today to talk about Gordon Call. We could probably spend 2 hours talking about Gordon Call and what happened there, but Gordon Call is an American hero who I don't think there is a better example of a man willing to die for his convictions than Gordon Call. And I just an American hero, a World War II vet, distinguished war record, just a good man, great man. And he was murdered, and I'll call it what it is. He was murdered outside of Smithville, Arkansas, where he had taken flight out of North Dakota of an incident that happened up in Medina, North Dakota up there. And there was some folks in the Patriot community that he was taking refuge with, and the feds caught up with him and using local police forces. I don't know, they went mad with power. They were like a bunch of bloodthirsty savages, and there was a very questionable shootout that, like I said, is for another day. But what Ben was referring to is this was a home of what they call a soddy, and it was a home that was built into the earth in the side of a hill. And so it only had one side exposed. The rest of it was earth, dirt. But there was a stovepipe coming up out of the top, and the local authorities, along with the federal marshals, poured approximately, I'm going off memory, guys, on all of this, but I think it was about 15 gallons of diesel fuel down that pipe and put a match to it, and burned the bodies of both the local sheriff and Gordon Call to cinders inside it. And so 9 years later, as you see a helicopter flying over the top of this hill there in Idaho, in Ballinger County, Idaho, I promise you that was on their minds. And Ben referred to it earlier, and there's video footage out there you can go find on the YouTube and some of these documentaries. There were hundreds upon hundreds of local people there in Boundary County, Idaho, that showed up at the outside of the entrance to the Weaver family's property because they were so afraid of what was going to happen because of what happened with Gordon Call, and they didn't want that to happen again. So yeah, Ben, you're spot on. When they saw that helicopter, they thought it was going to be a diesel dump, and the reason why is because the feds have a heck of a record of covering up the crime scene by bulldozing it and setting it on fire. And if you don't believe me, think about what happened at Waco, right? It just happened to catch on fire. This is all during Bill Clinton, and it burned to the ground. We don't know what the heck happened there. But yeah, that was a very real thing.
Yep. And they also dozed and burnt the Aryan Nation headquarters after the fall of Aryan Nation.
That's right.
With Pastor Butler.
That's right.
They like to burn evidence up.
Well, they do. But that's okay. I mean, it'll come back in droves. So that's what happened there. And Eddie, you were talking about what happened in Oklahoma City, and we had mentioned a couple. Is it okay if I throw out a couple of names of some documentaries?
Yeah,
just for
sure,
our people
of course.
That are listening.
Yeah, of course.
There are there are, I'm going to make some recommendations. I know we're going to be coming to the bottom of the hour break, but as far as Gordon Call goes, first off, I want to tell you there's still two people in federal prison related to the Gordon yes. Call incident, and that's Scott Fall and Gordon Call's son, Yori Call. They're both wasting away in federal prison. The actual trial, the kangaroo trial that happened in the Gordon Call incident, there was never one piece of evidence that was submitted that showed any blame or guilt towards Scott Fall or Yori Call, yet they still sit in prison. They never shot anyone or anything like that, but they're in federal prison for the rest of their life. And our people need to pray for both those men, especially Yori Call. Yes. He is in very, very bad health, and he has spent literally the best part of his life in prison. He left a wife and some children out in the free world, and we need to be in prayer for Yori. But the name of, you can find it on YouTube, or at least you used to be able to find it on YouTube. The name of the documentary is called Death and Taxes. Death and Taxes. And yes, I hear the music, yes. and we come back from the break, I'd like to pick that back up real quick.
Sure, sure. By the way, Yori Call was shot by the feds, but yeah, but
he sure
get
was.
Back to the story. Y'all doing a great job. Be right back, folks.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Blood River Radio family, I'd like to throw something out there totally off topic, but if you will, since we're speaking and praying for people like Yori Call, who Yori, his crime was getting shot by the feds, and he's been rotting in prison, and he'll never get out. But I was talking to Brother David Duke today, just for a few minutes, calling him over the show. He's been on my mind all day. You know, he's suffering with cancer. But if you will, pray for David Duke. Love him or hate him, so many people. The guy, his... He's been a stalwart. He's been in the white rights movement for as long as I can remember, just about. He's a little younger than I am. Also, keep prayers for Don Black and Michael Tubbs. Those three guys really were pillars in the movement. They're not doing well. If you will, keep them in your mind and keep them in your prayers. I know they would they greatly appreciate that, but they have done an immeasurable amount of work for our white people,
you know, that's just, if you will, please do that. Anyway, I think you before we went to the break, Will, I think you were talking, so go ahead and go back where you were, brother.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you can jump on YouTube. It should still be there. The name of the documentary is called Death and Taxes, and it covers everything having to do with the Gordon Call incident up there in North Dakota. It is a great, great documentary. It features prominently Yori Call from prison, Joan Call, who's now went on to be with the Lord, Gordon Call's widow, is in there. Just a great, very fair documentary. Jack McLam is in that documentary. It's a great documentary. Also, there was a book written by a newspaper reporter in the very early 90s. The name of the book was A Bitter Harvest. A Bitter Harvest, and it is the fairest book I have ever read about the Gordon Call incident. It is right down the middle. It is a very, very good book. I highly recommend it. But going back to Oklahoma City, just real fast, I guess this is kind of like a library corner, huh? I'm just giving some things, some research for our folks out there. But there was a great
document.
Okay, awesome. I'm glad, Ben. There was a great documentary produced in the middle 2000s. I want to say it's about 08, 09, 2010, somewhere right in there. And the name of the documentary is called A Noble Lie. A Noble Lie.
Yes.
It is the definitive documentary on what happened in Oklahoma City that day, and I highly recommend that. It's also available on YouTube. Jump on there. It's better than watching any of that other trash that's on television. Don't worry about professional football. It's all rigged with a bunch of people who hate us anyways. Spend a couple hours of your life and watch something that might actually improve the way you think. Ben, what did you have?
Yes.
So over here on YouTube, there's Ruby Creek Massacre about Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge. It's a Rhodes Production Systems, or RPS, 1992. This guy had it's about a two-hour-long broadcast and lots of footage, and they did an immaculate job covering the whole event. I highly recommend watching that. Of course, there's more facts that we know now after the fact. The other link I'd like to put out there is if you do want to support the Weaver family, go to rubyridgetofreedom.com. Sarah Weaver has handmade rugs. I believe she has some quilts. They're all made in memory of Randy, Vicky, and Sam. And she also has several books on here. One's Federal Siege at Ruby Ridge by Randy and Sarah Weaver. And then the other one is Ruby Ridge to Freedom by Sarah Weaver, the story of from her view at Ruby Ridge. She was 16 at the time. So go to Ruby Ridge to Freedom.
That book, The Federal Siege of at Ruby Ridge, half of that book is written by Randy Weaver. The other half is written by Sarah Weaver, and that is the firsthand account of literally hour by hour, day by day of what happened while they were there. If you want one book about what happened that day up on Ruby Creek, that's the one you need. And don't buy it secondhand off eBay. Don't buy it off Amazon. Buy it from Sarah Weaver.
What was the name of that book again now, Will? Will, give that name again.
Ben, you have it in front of you, but I think it's... Go ahead, Ben.
The Federal Siege at Ruby Ridge by Randy and Sarah Weaver. It is currently out of stock on her website, but I'm sure if you were to email her, I believe she's got her email on this website. Let's see here. But, yeah, it's currently out of stock, but I'm sure there's a way you can get a hold. Let's see here. The other one, Ruby Ridge to Freedom, it's $40. You can email them at Ruby Ridge Publications, it looks like. But if you go over to RubyRidgeToFreedom.com, it's all on there.
I got a quick anecdote before we lose time here, Eddie. I'd like to talk about the afternoon I met Randy Weaver.
Yeah, we got a good four and a half minutes anyway.
Okay.
This will be really quick.
I was at a gun show. I used to be very active in the gun show circuit back in the middle 90s, during the height of the Patriot movement and all of that. And it was at a large civic center there in Atlanta, and I kind of turned the corner, and this would have probably been 1997, six, something like that. And I turned the corner, and I saw this guy, kind of a shorter guy, and he was smoking a cigarette. And I kind of thought, well, that's odd. You can't smoke in here. You know, you're not supposed to be smoking in here. And he was standing there at the door smoking a cigarette. And so I just idled up past him, and he turned around, and I realized it was Randy Weaver, and he was there. And he actually was there selling the book, Federal Siege at Ruby Ridge. He had a table set up, and I should have said this was Friday before the show had opened, so it was just vendors that were in there. And I walked up to him and introduced myself, and the first thing he said, and I'm going to tell you guys, it still to this day, this is 30 years later, it still sticks with me. He looked at me, and I told him my name, and he said, how old are you, Will? And I told him, and he said, you and Sammy are the same age.
Wow.
And I said, is that right? And it turns out we were just a few days apart on our birthday, and Randy Weaver gave me a good bit of his time that afternoon. And I will tell you, this guy who just hated everybody, this just killer anti-government, you know, burn it all down guy, cried, sat there and told me about what happened to his son and his wife, and the man teared up and cried and was as tenderhearted as a man could be. And to this day, any time I hear anything about Randy Weaver and the monster that he was supposed to be, I go out of my way to tell people how misinformed they are, because that wasn't the man that I met.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you flat out, guys, if someone was to do to my son or my grandson what they did to Randy Weaver's son, I'd show them a damn monster. I'd show them a monster that they hope to God they would never have to face again. I know they were probably going to get me, but I'm a guarantee you. Some sons of bitches, feds would pay a dear price. I guarantee you. And so I have to say, you know, Randy Weaver, if he was a monster, he sure wouldn't have a monster like somebody like me would be. I guarantee you, buddy. Anyway, I guess I shouldn't get that carried away.
On that note, I want to say this of, you know, I appreciate Ben coming on and wanting to talk about this. It's certainly something that's, we should hear about. We don't need to forget these American heroes, because as time goes on, we're going to forget who they are, and we're going to forget what happened. And that's what they want. They want us to forget it so that it can happen again. And we need, as Christians, as white men, we need to make it loud and proud that there won't be another free Ruby Ridge. We're not going to allow this to happen. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. And there's evidence of it, because if you guys remember what happened with the Bundys up in Nevada, our people came out in droves and prevented a massacre from happening there. We need to keep that in mind. And Randy Weaver got called to duty again that day when those marshals invaded his property without provocation. He was a man that was just trying to live a quiet life with his family away from Babylon, and they weren't going to have it. And I'm going to tell you what Randy Weaver knew, and it's what we should all know too. He knew what King David told us. And what King David told us in Psalm 144:1 was, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. I'm here to tell you guys, I hope that we never have to go to war and battle. And I sincerely mean that. I'm getting to be older now in my middle age. And what I will say is this, though, and Eddie, this isn't big talk. I got two small kids. And if it's time for my hands to go to war, and if it's time for my fingers to battle, I pray that it happens now and not when my children have to do it. Let me take care of that for them.
I think that too. And you guys have been tremendous. You know what, Ben, take us out, brother. Get less work for you, brother.
All I got to say is God bless and stay white.
There you go.
I'll second that.
Guys, y'all did a fantastic job. You just covered up when I was gone. It's been like, y'all didn't need me, but thank you so much, guys. You two precious men for coming in. We'll have to get together and do this again soon. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for tuning in. Thank you so much. I hope you can take what we said. I hope you can benefit from it and profit from it. So people, God willing, if nothing happens, we'll see you same time, same place. It'll be the 25th of October. Anyway, goodbye, everybody.